I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Mr. President, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Why are you at the Fox News debate tonight in Milwaukee?
Well, you know, a lot of people have been asking me that, and many people said you shouldn't do them, but you see the polls have come out, and I'm leading by 50 and 60 points, and, you know, some of them are at 1 and 0 and 2, and I'm saying, do I sit there for an hour or 2 hours, whatever it's going to be, and get harassed by people that shouldn't even be running for president? Should I be doing that? And a network that isn't particularly friendly to me, frankly. You know, they were backing Ron DeSanctimonious like crazy, and now they've given up on him. I mean, it's a lost cause.
So there you had Donald Trump in response to Tucker Carlson last night, because he was doing an interview with Tucker Carlson. It's already pre-recorded while the debate was going on live, and you got a chance to see either or both if you decide to tape one, listen to it later, whatever. But as he said, the reason I'm not there is, why should I? Now, I'm going to take two positions on this. Allow me to have both sides. One is, he's right. Why go into there if you're 30-plus points ahead of anyone else on the stage? Well, I'd say for the same reason, if you're an incumbent and you're facing a challenger, you should do it, which Joe Biden is not going to do a debate as a primary. They're not going to primary him so far anyway. And if it gets to a general election, we'll see if he's capable of doing it. Now, the second side of that issue is, he should be there because he always complained about anyone who wouldn't show up for one. So you got to get out there and explain your position and stand up for you. Are we afraid? Well, his point, again, I guess I'll have to go with the first one as my most impressive issue, and that being, why get up there if everybody's going to be throwing stones at you and you've got nothing to gain? That is a general concept in politics often anyway. And that is, don't give the other side any kind of ammunition. And if you being there is going to add more to them, then you don't want to help them. All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are, hour two of today's program, August 24, 2023. Second hour of Larry Connors USA. We air 2 hours, 6 to 8, Monday through Friday, right here for you. And, of course, we also have video of the show streaming at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, or Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, or Rumble. A lot of ways to catch the program. And if you can't watch the video at this point, the streams, you can always pull them up later. You can do the same thing with the audio. And you can share with friends, family, even your enemies. Let them know, hey, you need to listen to this. You simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com, and everything's there for you. So let's go back to the Tucker Carlson interview. Now that he's justified why he's there, or in his view he has, and I think he has. One of the questions is, of course, when Trump went into office, one of the things he kept pushing, we're going to clean the swamp out. We now know, and it's very evident just by looking what happened in the first few months, some of the folks he appointed to various positions, they were gone not quite overnight, but pretty close to it. Why were they ever put in that position? Well, because as far as being a politician, he's a neophyte. He didn't know D.C. He didn't know how the government works directly. And that's not dismissive. I'm saying until you're in the midst of it, you don't know how deep the swamp is. And he probably got some bad advice, made some bad selections, and it didn't take long for it to begin to surface that they were not working for and with him and for and with the American people, but trying to undermine his presidency. So when it came to dealing with the swamp, that was one of the questions Tucker raised with President Trump.
If you get elected again, go back to Washington. How do you keep the agencies under control? How do you keep FBI and CIA specifically under control?
The way you do it, like I fired Comey, that was a big deal. You know, a lot of people said, and I fired him very early. Somebody said, oh, I wish you would have fired him. There's a real question about firing him anyway. You understand, because, you know, when they have a 10-year term, there is a question. I fired Comey. That was a great thing. If I didn't fire Comey, maybe I wouldn't be talking to you, or I'd be talking to you about real estate or something else other than politics, right? That was a coup, in my opinion. That was a very sick deal. That was the insurance policy. You remember the insurance policy? Oh, she's going to win, darling. She's going to win. But just in case she doesn't, we have an insurance policy. An insurance policy was what they were doing. And we caught them with that. That was a very important tweet or whatever it was, text. It was a big deal. That was a big deal. The insurance policy. She's going to win 100 million to one. Now, that's not good odds. At least they gave me one, right? 100 million to one. But just in case she doesn't win, we have an insurance policy. And everybody said, that's strange. That's strange.
It is strange. And when you say she's going to win 100 million to one, immediately alarm should go. Trump is only going to get one vote out of every vote cast. That would obviously the one be his and no one else. That's stupid on its face value. But they were locked into the fact that he will not get there. And if he does, we've got an insurance policy. That was, they were already plotting. We can start this Russian collusion story. And the Steele dossier, which was all fictitious, and FBI agents lying to a federal judge to get a FISA warrant to carry out wiretaps, and they knew their information was based on a lie. And at some point, they also knew the information they were getting was not only a lie, it was bought for, paid for, by Hillary Clinton and the Democrat National Committee. You don't trust me? You don't believe me? Go back and look at what the New York Times and others have said 18 months after the election. In the beginning, they ignored the Hunter Biden laptop entirely, remember? And, I mean, that was the second time, right? They ignored everything at the time that would make Trump look good, so they were never going to let him get in because then they were going to create this issue. Second time around, Trump against Biden, then they also did the same thing with the Hunter Biden laptop. I mean, it's pretty hard to keep track of all these conspiracies. And Trump was the target at every point. And that means you were the target. And your vote got destroyed by what they were trying to do. And you heard him talking about dealing with the swamp and dealing with firing Comey. And what good that was. Carlson then raised a question to him, but referenced some reaction to Georgia. But before we do that, again, I want to focus again on Trump, specifically regarding Comey.
When I fired Comey, it was like throwing a rock into a hornet's nest, into a nest of bees, and the place went crazy. When I looked at the 51 intelligence agents, saying that that was the laptop from hell was Russia disinformation. When I took a look at that, I said, that's a horrible thing. They knew it wasn't. They knew it was not. And by the way, you're talking about cheating on the election. McLaughlin and Fabrizio, great pollsters, if they said a thing like that plus other things meant anywhere from 10 to 17% of the vote would change.
That's a big swing. And if they were basing that, and again, those are good pollsters. They're saying the fact that he fired Comey, that could have swung that vote that much. It became apparent despite his Boy Scout appearance and trying to be supposedly honest, he had been taking notes when he was in meetings with Trump. And as soon as he got in his limousine, writing it down in more detail, notes in his head, then putting them to paper. And really tried to avoid actually being near Trump. Remember, he got invited into one of the gatherings, a social gathering, and Trump had, and he comes in, he stands against the wall near the drapes as if he can't be seen. The guy's 6'6". You're not going to overlook that. Trump called him over, and he said, well, I didn't want to get in the way. Well, he just didn't want to be caught near Trump. So again, we've got Trump facing the charges in Georgia and under a $200,000 fine. There's where Tucker Carlson said, let's talk about these charges filed in Georgia.
How do you do that? How do you get indicted, you know, every week and stay cheerful?
I think it's a lot easier because I'm so high in the polls, because it means the people get it. The people see it's a fraud. The people see it, like this horrible district attorney from just a little while ago, from essentially Atlanta, that's Fulton County. She said, basically, I don't have any right to challenge an election. Well, what about Stacey Abrams? What about Hillary Clinton? What about all of these Democrats that are still challenging my election? The same people that are saying he's challenging an election challenged my election.
And that's a key point, because we all know that they have done exactly what he said. They don't like the election. They think they should have won. Anyone else been charged simply because they don't like the election? If I want to use a Trump term and make a pun out of it, I'd say those charges are all trumped up against him, because I don't think the election went down the way it should have. I'm not sure it was fair. Nothing talking about counting the ballots or extra ballots added or detracted. I'm simply talking about this last election round, because the FBI was already telling state-controlled media and big tech, ignore the Hunter Biden laptop story. It's not real. When they knew it existed, they had it in their possession for a year. And then also saying, ignore any information on it. It's all Russian collusion. And they had those 51 former intel officers sign off saying that's what it was. It's all Russian collusion. They had not even seen the information. They were just basically asked, will you sign the letter? And will you, at the same time, sign up to buy my daughter's Girl Scout cookies? Sure. Trump did have some praise for Democrats, some Democrats.
You have great people in the Democrat Party. You have great people that are Democrats. Most of the people in our country are fantastic, and I'm representing everybody. I'm not just Republicans or conservatives. Right. I represent everybody. I'm the president of everybody. But I've seen what they do. I've seen the lengths that they go to. When they make up the Russia, when that's exposed and they go down, and Barr should have gone after them and other people should have gone after. And they did very late, because the Durham report came out. It was fairly good. It could have been a lot tougher, I guess, but it was fairly good. But it explained how corrupt it was.
So Tucker raised a lot of questions that's on minds of many that were not presented at the debate. And he also raised an issue reference what this administration is trying to do is push everyone into electric cars.
The happiest moment for somebody in an electric car is the first 10 minutes. In other words, you get it charged, and now for 10 minutes. The unhappiest part is the next hour, because you're petrified that you're not going to be fine to another charger. I'm not knocking electric cars, they're fine. They're fine. But if people want to buy a gasoline car or hybrids are pretty good, actually, but they should be allowed to buy. They don't want to do any of this. So right now, California's in a big brownout because their grid is a disaster. The grid all over the country is sort of a disaster, but the grid in California. And yet they want to have it in a very short period of time. Millions and millions of cars going off that grid, essentially. It doesn't work.
So plug your car into a grid that's failing.
You should be able to buy an electric car. You know, electric cars could be fine if you drive short distances and you want to have, you know, whatever, and you have plug-ins everywhere you go. They could be fine. But you got to have gasoline cars. You got to have everything. Let people buy everything.
People buy everything. Well, that's kind of a summation of some of the Tucker Carlson interview. Let's turn the page on another subject. Turning the page to another subject in the sense of the debate itself that was underway last night. In some cases, it was like watching the enthusiasm at a football game.
You all signed a pledge to support the eventual Republican nominee. If former President Trump is convicted in a court of law, would you still support him as your party's choice? Please raise your hand if you would. just hold on. So just to be clear, Governor Christie, you were kind of late to the game there, but
no,
you raised
I'm,
your hand.
No, I'm doing this. Look, look, I'm doing this.
And
not
I know
this.
You didn't.
Whoa, whoa. No. Just come, what's
the look, here's the bottom line. Someone's got to stop normalizing this conduct. Okay?
They didn't like that. They didn't. He's talking about Trump's conduct. I've complained about that as well. That was Chris Christie. But then you had fireworks going on between Vivek Ramaswamy and Christie.
President Trump, I believe, was the best president of the 21st century. It's a fact. And Chris Christie, honest to God, your claim that Donald Trump is motivated by vengeance and grievance would be a lot more credible if your entire campaign were not based on vengeance and grievance against one man. And if people at home want to see a bunch of people blindly bashing Donald Trump without an iota of vision for this country, they could just change the channel to MSNBC right now. But I'm not running for president of MSNBC. I am running for president of the United States. We're skating on thin ice, and we cannot set a precedent where the party in power uses police force to indict its political opponents. It is wrong. We have to end the weaponization of justice.
Well, you can hear what was going on then. People were still yelling and everything. And Bret Baier tried to interject himself, trying to get the audience to calm down. Here we go again.
You sit here and answer.
Go ahead, Governor Christie.
Hold on, Governor Christie.
Hold on.
Well, so listen, the more time we spend doing this, the less time they can talk about issues you want to talk about. So let's just get through this section. Governor Christie.
You sit here talking about how you want to stand up for the rule of law.
Yes.
And law and order. And the fact is that it can't be selective. In your book, you had much different things to say about Donald Trump than you're saying here tonight.
That's not true.
No, it is very true.
That is not true.
It's very true. I read it,
because
and I know.
Difference
look,
between bad behavior and illegal
by the way,
behavior, Chris. And you, as a prosecutor, should know better.
Yeah, you know what? I know a lot
There's
better.
There's a difference between bad behavior.
I know a lot better than you do. You've never done it like you've never done anything to try to advance the interests of this government except to put yourself forward as a candidate tonight. And here's the thing. We've stood up for law and order. I did it as U.S. attorney. I did it as governor. And I am not going to bow to anyone when we have a president of the United States who disrespects the Constitution.
Yeah, there's Chris Christie. A left, a right, an uppercut, a gut punch, a kidney punch. And so it went. There's a GOP strategist says Ramaswamy ran a primary debate, but he actually rated Haley best as running a great general debate. And, of course, there will be another one to come. Will Trump be in the second one or not? We got a lot to go in this second hour for you. And one of the issues coming up immediately here, artificial intelligence. What do you know about it? Well, I know I have artificial intelligence and not real intelligence, but it's not what they're talking about. But there's good, bad, ugly, and maybe dangerous artificial intelligence. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Some other guy that you knew before, you do all this guy.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. You hear a lot about artificial intelligence, but do you really know what it involves and how it could affect you or not? Joining us is Christopher Alexander, Chief Analytics Officer. There's a number right there. Is that it? Did I give you the wrong number? Oh, gave him the wrong number. Give us a second here. It's my bad. I sent the wrong number over to Quentin. Wouldn't you know I would do something like that? It doesn't happen too often, but I did, and I'm going to take responsibility for it. And I'm verifying that we've got the right number because I'm having trouble locating it as well. Give me one second, folks. This is the beauty of live radio. We're never really sure if we're getting what I wanted. Now, this guy's number has been all over in front of me today, and now I can't seem to find it. I'd printed this thing out last night. Why is it not there? Are you having fun out there listening to this? Do you think I can't carry this program at this point? This is where all of the ability of having a BS degree from Texas comes in play. Let me go back to the very beginning because I know this guy had, we'd had communications back and forth earlier. He is the head of a group that is doing its best. Actually, it is led by, I should point out to you, the Pioneer Group is led by veterans in general, I think, that are trying to make sure that we are treating artificial intelligence properly and we don't make any mistakes with it. Because artificial intelligence, well, if you listen to Kamala Harris, artificial intelligence is just nothing more than... She can't explain it either, not any more than I. But there was a ruling that came down the other day, and within this ruling, the decision was made that the judge decided that you cannot actually claim artificial intelligence under copyright laws. Now, you might ask why that would be. Well, according to the judge, and I didn't find the number, just sent it to Quentin, so he's getting it now. According to the judge, the reason you cannot, and this is U.S. District Court of Appeals, anything that's generated by artificial intelligence cannot be copyrighted under U.S. law because you don't have any human input. The value of that and what it could be done is while AI music and art is already disrupting industries, and of course it could end up affecting your job at some point or another. The group that Christopher Alexander heads up, the Pioneer Development Group, he's the chief analytics officer, has on its program page saying that Pioneer Development is taking a stand for liberty. Christopher, glad to have you on board. It's my fault I sent the wrong number. Glad to have you on board with us, sir.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
All right, I was explaining the judge's ruling that you cannot apply copyright laws on AI cases because you don't have humans actually involved. First of all, how's that really going to bother or affect anyone?
Well, it's unusual, but what it centers around this idea of personhood, and if the AI produces this and you can go through this patent process, then you've essentially through the courts given an AI you've said it's a human being for legal purposes. So that has massive ramifications. It's definitely bizarre.
Well, but again, I don't, you're going to have to help me out because I don't have artificial intelligence. I have very little intelligence. Still, what's the bottom line? What does it mean?
Oh, well, what happens is, if it's a person, then it has rights. And so you go down this whole sort of bizarre path, all started through essentially a patent process, right? Where suddenly AIs are afforded, perhaps anti-discrimination laws. Can they, like the full social contract would get applied to a software program on your computer potentially if they go down this path. So that's the crux of this. You're actually going to say that something with an AI in it is a person that has rights like you or me.
Well, we've got a Supreme Court justice can't even identify what a woman is. So how are we going to deal with that?
Well, maybe they can use an AI for it, but
Well, now it puts it in better perspective. Because
yeah.
If you're going to start applying, you said, discrimination laws and everything else in there, I don't see how they could do it, but the bottom line is it would be impactful.
Yeah, and I think realistically what this is going to do is this is going to cause all of these headaches because you're going to be rewriting all of these laws because now you're putting these exceptions in. So I think that's a big is really the long term from this. If a court ever said, okay, yes, you can copyright this because an AI is a person. And there was just a ruling, I think, in the past 2 weeks that already has pushed that back. And you can't copyright things an AI produces. And what's funny is this is really what's driving it, right? No patent court wants to upend the social contract over, you know, some pictures that Midjourney produces, for example.
All right. Well, let's compare it to someone who did create something, a human who created it, and then AI services taking their property and simply repeating it. Would that be a violation? I mean, a person was involved at some point.
Well, there's actually even another argument, and I'll try to add some clarity before I make it muddier, or after I make it muddier. But there's an argument. The person who the team typically, right, who developed the algorithms for the AI.
Yeah.
Do they get the copyright credit? Does the AI get the copyright credit? Does the artist whose work they derived it from get the credit? Does nobody get the credit? And it sounds like the most recent ruling said nobody gets it. But
that can't make sense. I mean, it's like, If you had invented the wheel, I mean, somewhere along the line, you're going to be getting credit.
Yeah, I think there's a good kind of analogy to look at, and that is with music, right? If you change enough notes in a melody, it's considered something different, right? So I think what you're going to end up having is much like in these lawsuits over, you know, did someone, you know, copy a melody from an older song and right. You know, those sorts of trademark issues. I think you're going to have a whole area of particularly in the visual side of saying, all right, is this a derivative work? Is this a copy? And that's likely where that goes. And ironically, it will probably be analyzed by an AI because you're going to have to pull so much data in to prove it.
Well, let's go beyond the ruling references to if it can be copyrighted. The value of AI on levels it could be good or also could be bad for us and, in fact, dangerous.
Sure. Well, to start with the good, I encourage anybody listening. A lot of people are really intimidated by this, concerned about it. And there's a great analogy. I'll go to the bad and back to the good, which is, you know, in certain professions, it's a little bit like being a, in Detroit working on an assembly line in 1970 and automation's coming. Now, the good news is, unlike in the 70s, Detroit auto workers weren't going to fly to Japan and look at robotics and see what was going to happen. These tools are available. They're free, something like ChatGPT. Log on there and see what it can do with your job to make your job easier, make you more productive. Become an expert in how AI can work in what you do, and that's going to be a lot of job safety it's going to provide for you. Now, in terms of what can it do, it's fascinating. It's called natural language processing. You just talk to the AI. You type messages to it. Imagine you are a copywriter and give me copy for a Facebook post about, cryptocurrency and the value of blockchain X. And it will do it. And it does a pretty good job, actually.
Within that comes the context of college students and having to turn in these papers dealing with such subjects. How are they going to protect against AI writing it for them?
So there's definitely an AI to check for whether an AI wrote it. And I think the way a college student uses this in a way that's beneficial is they use it as a research tool. You can use it to copy edit your paper, right? AI is great at that.
All right.
At the end of the day, at the end of the day, you're looking at a blank canvas, and you have to instruct the AI what to do. And if you don't know how to instruct it on what to do, you're not going to get very far anyway.
Well, that's where we start with computers. Yep. Junk in, junk out. So,
absolutely.
So then, in the last minute or so, what about military applications?
Well, so I worked on two AI programs, one as a comms officer, one is for operationalizing its use, and I'll give you an example in the bad. The Air Force ran an exercise. They anticipated this, just so we're clear, and they were looking for problems. But the drone was working with an operator. It was gamified, so they told the drone, if you service, if you attack these targets, you get a certain amount of points. The goal is to get as many points as possible. The operator said, you can't hit this target, collateral damage, what have you. Well, the drone really wanted to fire at those targets to win the game. So in the first run, it killed the operator. So they stopped the exercise. They told the AI, you can't kill the operator.
That's a bad idea.
And then the drone proceeded to attack the information communications infrastructure of the United States to stop the ability to tell it to stop. So, they have to keep iterating. So, obviously, a technology that we don't fully understand, that's not mature in the military or really any context, but particularly a military one's problematic. If you want the worst-case scenario that I think is legitimate, I would worry that we have a defense AI. It ends up getting canceled, and the Chinese or someone deals with espionage, and then kind of runs amok.
2001 Space Odyssey. How I can do that. Christopher Alexander, Chief Analytics Officer, Pioneer Development Group. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Coming up, a new development concerning the Russian Putin advisor's death. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. Allen, OutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, people mind, taking care of business and working overtime.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, we're still seeing conflicting reports on what happened to that plane crash involving Prigozhin. And I made a mistake in going to the break talking about an advisor. He was not really an advisor to Putin. He was leading the Wagner Army, a paramilitary-type group that he put together and helping Russian troops in Ukraine until he decided, we're not getting enough support, we need more. And then he started marching toward Moscow as if there were going to be a coup to overthrow Putin and take control. Now, Putin was not going to stand for that, but at the same time, he wasn't sure he could defend himself. They increased the guards around the Kremlin. I'm not sure Putin stayed there or if he went in some deep underground bunker, and who knows if you're going to go James Bond-type thing, he went miles underground to some other location. But the bottom line is, and it was finally reached an accord, the Prigozhin's troops stopped short of Moscow, And he said, well, we're not trying to do that. We're just trying to make it clear. We're just satisfied with how things are going. And Putin basically was saying, well, that's okay. I understand. No big deal now. Okay. Come and go in peace. And he actually went into the Kremlin a couple times. I assume spoke to Putin directly. But the basic approach was, at that time, Putin forgave him. I understand. Just misunderstanding. We're all good. Go about your way. Live your life. Go to Belarus, since they brokered the deal for everything to come to halt. Enjoy your vacation time, whatever. And yet he still made trips from Belarus into Russia. And then yesterday, on board a jet, a commercial style but private jet, the plane crashes. Some reports and video indicated a wing came off. Well, you lose a wing, that's not good, period. The U.S. is stating it has not seen indications a missile downed the plane. That's what they're saying. Now, again, I'm not telling you to take one side or the other, but that's the official statement. The first remarks that Putin has made about Prigozhin since the crash, he calls him, if you listen to this quote, there are a lot of things you can read into it. I'm not going to try and interpret it for you. I'm going to tell you what he said, and then I'll let you make the decision on what it means. Putin is quoted as calling Prigozhin, quote, a man of difficult fate. Yeah. What does that mean to you? Do you suspect Putin had anything to do with that plane going down? There's a analysis of that gets into it that appears on CNN, and I do not know how accurate this information is, but I know some of it is correct. It was a private Embraer jet they made in Spain, I think, the last I checked. I've flown on some. You probably have as well. Maybe you noticed or didn't. I think the ones I've been on normally have been going into Mexico or Virgin Islands, someplace like that. This jet had 7 passengers, 3 crew members. It departed from Moscow, so he had been back in Moscow, whether or not actually in the Kremlin, not sure, and it was en route to St. Petersburg. And then it crashed in the western region of Russia. Flight data shows the plane reaching an altitude of something like 28,000 feet before it suddenly stopped transmitting tracking details. I will have to tell you right there, as a pilot, now I'm multi-engine instrument commercial rated, but not jet rated, but I would tell you this, it still strikes me that if all communications stopped at 28,000 feet, no transmission, no code going out from the plane that identifies which plane it is, much less radio traffic from the pilots, to me that sounds like something catastrophic happened. An explosion on board? Something striking the plane like a drone or a missile? Now, that's all speculation. But if they're saying the plane reached some 28,000 feet and then suddenly stopped transmitting, tracking details, something happened that put everything to an end at that point. They could have all been dead before the plane hit the ground. And, of course, when it did, it burned up on impact, been in the air for only about half an hour, so had a lot of fuel. But the way it's reported by state media outlet Russia 24, upon free fall, the Embraer plane wreckage broke apart across a 2-kilometer-mile area away from a village where most of the fuselage wreckage was found, but of course everything's burned. They've got fragments of the plane on a road going into the city. And then you do have video that got published, and I have seen this briefly, that was taken by a local in the area that for some reason was distracted by a noise and then looked up and saw the plane, started taking video of it. Which again indicates there had to be some explosion, some kind of noise up in the sky that made her look up and grab her phone and start recording. And it shows the plane going down with one wing missing. The woman who took the picture said she did hear the sound of an airplane near her house, and then something like a bang, like a shot. And then suddenly an explosion. I looked up and heard a sound above me. Pops and several explosions. The plane started to swerve, and then a plume of smoke emerged, and the plane began to descend, to dive, as she described it. So, if the wing just came off, that they had some mechanical issue, you could have had the same kind of scenario. Sound of an explosion, things breaking apart, fuel leaking, more fires, all that could have happened. I'm not saying it couldn't. But more than likely, something hit the plane taking the wing off. She said she didn't actually see the moment of the crash, but a neighbor had told her that it was terrifying. There was a loud bang, and I turned my head just in time to look and see the plane covered in fire and falling. It's in a spin, trailing a lot of smoke. One science and aerospace reporter said that it did appear some structural pieces, aerodynamic surfaces, were missing. Aerodynamic as in a wing? Yeah, that's a pretty bad thing. He goes on to say, an aircraft like this, they just don't catastrophically drop out of the sky without something very unusual happening. Take solace in that if you're afraid of flying. That kind of thing does not happen often. And in fact, this expert added, an event like this could be caused by an explosion either inside or outside the aircraft. So again, was it struck by something, fired from the ground, or another plane some distance away? Or was there a bomb on board? In the compartment hold, or in the cabin, or in somehow or another attached right at the wing structure? If it was placed deliberately like that and they knew that would be enough, they didn't trust an explosion at 28,000 feet would blow it apart anyway. Who knows? We've got a former safety inspector with the USFAA. He said, yeah, I agree with that. The plane's fall appeared that it had only one wing left. There have been questions about was Prigozhin actually on board. He and several top Wagner lieutenants were named on the list of passengers, but were they actually on board? One telegram channel linked to Wagner, the military group he headed, issued a statement that saying he had been killed. But apparently there's no official confirmation beyond that, and not likely to happen anyway after that crash and what remains of those who were on board. And one of the videos does show the last four digits of a registration number still visible on some of the engine debris, which would indicate it was his plane linked to his companies, registered with the registration number in Russia of RA02795. If they could make out enough of that, they could identify it's his plane. You still have to ask, was he on board? And then again, if he was on board, was his payback after his apparent attempted mutiny to overthrow Putin? That one is not so hard to decide. If Putin believed he had tried to overthrow him, there was no, let's shake hands and forget about it. Believe me, that was not going to really happen. And I'll have to even give credit to Joe Biden, whether or not he came up with it. He said that Putin might have been behind it. He said, I don't know for a fact, but I'm not surprised, and neither should you be. All right, we've had the debate. I want to go back on a question and issue that came up last night. as opposed to the debate when you had the interview that Tucker Carlson carried out with President Trump.
If you're elected president again, what's your top, your number one priority? When you ran last time, you said, I will build a wall. This time, your bottom line top promise to the country.
So you can do numerous things at the same time.
Of course.
But let's say number one is a border.
Do you think we're moving towards civil war?
There's tremendous passion and there's tremendous love. January 6th was a very interesting day because they don't report it properly. I believe it was the largest crowd I've ever spoken before. And you know some of the crowds I've spoken before. People in that crowd said it was the most beautiful day they've ever experienced. There was love in that crowd. There was love and unity. I have never seen such spirit and such passion and such love. And I've also never seen simultaneously and from the same people such hatred of what they've done to our country.
So do you think it's possible that there's open conflict? I mean, we seem to be moving towards something.
I don't know, because I don't know what it, you know, I can say this. There's a level of passion that I've never seen. There's a level of hatred that I've never seen, and that's probably a bad combination.
It would be, and I would tell you this. Before Trump was elected, and shortly thereafter, I had numerous people asking me, do you think we're headed to civil war? And they were asking that after he got elected, and then the reaction from the left. And they were asking it before he got elected because they were watching reaction from the left. I said, and I want to stand by it, and I hope I'm correct, no, we're not going to go that far. We're going to have discourse. We're going to have arguments. But we're not going to, quote, have a civil war. Not if you look at it in the context of this true civil war we had. Americans shooting Americans over political ideology and our whatever they consider is valuable. And, of course, our Constitution is valuable, and the progressives don't see the value for it. Or if they try to strip out the Second Amendment. I will point this out, and we raised it yesterday. As I mentioned, we're beginning to hear more and more rumbles that, well, the CDC might be looking again at new COVID guidelines. They've already put some out. There have been reports of COVID increasing, the new variant. The drugs are supposedly ready to go if you want them or they're needed. You've had William Morris College in Atlanta tell students you had to be vaccinated and you must wear a mask. You got Lionsgate Studio deciding no one working at our main offices are going to be allowed to go around without a mask unless you're in a room by yourself or you're eating or for some reason you couldn't use it at the same time. Now, I'm not saying this should lead to civil war, but it is going to lead to full uprising this time around. First time with COVID, many of us, we didn't know. We weren't sure. All right, for 2 weeks, we'll do it. We're just going to flatten the curve. Wasn't that the term? Flatten the curve. And then it became, how much more can we depress the American people and push them down and lord over them with all kinds of rules and stats relating to COVID? Everything from masks, shots, boosters, and do it again. All led by Dr. Fake and others that were simply pushing control, not science, but control. Everything from state-controlled media, big tech, to the government. I had conversations with some guys last night, and I'm going to tell you, we were all at a poker game, so you can imagine they might have had this attitude, but I've heard it from others as well. Not going to do that again. Not going down that road. Well, what if the government says you are? And in St. Louis County, for those of you who live in that area, if the county exec says we're going to impose all of this all over again, shut all businesses down, I talked to a St. Louis County business owner last night. He said, no effing way. We'll see. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.